Hello and welcome to the Sharp 600, brought to you by Covers.com and presented by Bet365. My name is Jason Logan. I'll be your host here for the next 10 minutes or so as we run down NFL Week 11 and get our best bets on the board. Joining me as always is oddsmaker turned wise guy, Mr. Todd Furman. Todd, we were talking. We had a pretty solid week there last week. He hit both of our touchdown bets. And then I think in terms of our other best bets, we went a combined 4 for 2. So a good 6 for 2 with some high returns on that day, picking up some momentum here in the middle of the schedule.
Hey, look, this is the time of year where you separate the contenders from the pretenders, and we want to put ourselves in the contenders class. But golf clap to you, my Roma Dunze, right around plus $1.60-ish thereabouts, pales in comparison to the connection that we see brewing between former college teammates and Tyler Shuck and Juwan Johnson as he danced down the sidelines with a healthy score at north of 4-1. So job well done at the tight end position. And spoiler, J-Lo, you've inspired me to try a little bit of a heat check at that same position for a game this weekend. We get to that segment.
Ooh, a little teaser. I like that. Yeah, I didn't know if he would got in or not. I was watching his feet in the replay, and I was, whew, okay, he'd snuck in there. It was good. It was a good week for us. Before we do start the clock on week 11, we ask that if you're listening to the Sharp 600 on Apple or Spotify or whatever podcast platform it is, take a minute, rate the podcast, and if you really love us, hey, leave a review. That would be great. For those watching on YouTube, toss your insights, bets, whatever into the comments, like the video, and consider subscribing to That Covers YouTube channel. All right, Mick, let's go. Hit the music for week 11. All right, time for a pop quiz there, hot shot. Todd, it's November, and that means a lot of people are doing their midterms. You and I, it's been a long time since you and I were in school, but let's test
a lot longer, J-Lo, than I'm willing to admit, but yeah, thanks for aging us on this fine program. Yeah.
But it's never too, you know, it's always a good time to get your grasp around the NFL gambling landscape here, and I'm going to throw some multiple choice questions at you around some betting results, around some odds moves, and see if you can guess which teams I'm talking about here. All right, question number one is, this team is a perfect 4-0 over under at home, but 1-4 over under on the road. Is it A, Tennessee, B, Las Vegas, or C, Tampa Bay?
I am going to go with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers being an over juggernaut at home. Needed a little bit of magic in that final drive against the Patriots over the weekend. Unfortunately, I've watched too many Raiders games. Was I correct, J-Lo?
You were correct. It is Tampa Bay.
All right.
Yeah, giving up just 20.2 points on the road, but 26, more than 26 inside Raymond James, and seeing a similar split in those over-unders.
And by the way, weather on the horizon for their trip to Western New York. So yeah, this is the time of year to monitor that.
That total was 50 points down to, 47.5 right now? Rain, wind for Orchard Park this weekend. All right, next question. This team is 1-4 ATS as a favorite, but 3-0-1 ATS as an underdog. Is it A, Atlanta, B, Dallas, or C, Chicago?
This one is tricky. You know what? I think the Bears are a little bit of an overvalued commodity. I'm going to say that this is the Bears.
It is not the Bears, actually. It's the Falcons. An average margin of victory plus 4.8 as an underdog, minus 12 as a favorite. We've seen them play some good teams, play them well. Buffalo, Minnesota, New England. However, they have this bad habit of playing up and down to competition. Laid eggs against Miami and Carolina. Next one. This team was plus 10,000 to win the Super Bowl before the start of the season, but is now among the top favorites to win the Lombardi. Is it A, Seattle, B, New England, or C, Indianapolis?
You know what? Because of where their regular season win totals are, most people, I think, would gravitate towards New England. But it's important to know that their win total is actually higher than the Colts. So I'm going to make a case for the Colts to be that long shot.
You are correct. Plus 10,000, especially after they announced Daniel Jones as their starter. It seems to work out right now. They're plus 1,000 right now alongside Seattle and ahead of the Patriots at plus 1,800.
I will say, along the line with the Colts, when you look at their upcoming schedule, it's going to be extremely difficult, and we're really going to get a chance to see if the rubber will meet the road, because a lot of the teams they're facing can stop the run. I think they're going to sell out to take away Jonathan Taylor, and we're going to see if Daniel Jones can carry them across the finish line to winning the AFC South.
Yeah, we've seen the wheels wobble a little bit here recently. This receiver has stayed under his receiving yard prop total in 7 of his 9 games, but he's gone over his longest reception prop in 6 of those contests. Is it A, T. Higgins, B, Devontae Adams, or C, Jameson Williams?
You know what? I'm going to go Jameson Williams. He had kind of been an afterthought, but I got a feeling that I'm off on this one.
You were off on this one, but his stats are very, very similar. It's Adams. He's posted a long of at least 21 yards in all 9 of his games this season. However, he's only topped 60 yards in 3 games against an average prop total of 64.5 receiving yards. So Devontae Adams is that one.
Look at that. Throw me a little curveball there. I'm sitting dead red on what I thought was a hitter's count. And watch that 12-6 buckle the knees on me.
Right. This player opened with a 0.4 implied probability to win MVP, but is now priced at plus 500, tied as the 3rd overall favorite entering week 11. Is it A, Drake May?
B, you don't need.
Who is it?
I was going to say, you don't have to even rattle this one off. Although, you know what? I probably shouldn't say that because I heard the first 2 choices and now you've got me backed into a corner. I'm going to go with Jonathan Taylor being the guy at the running back position more so than Drake May. But look, Drake May opened, from what I saw, prices around 50-1 and actually drifted to 100. Am I right with Jonathan Taylor having done the improbable?
Yes, he was plus 25,000 at the start of the year.
That's nuts. Hey, by the way, on this, and I will say something here in this market. If you think Jonathan Taylor does win the MVP, I think there are some quarterbacks that are worth a flyer in the offensive player of the year, like a Matthew Stafford potentially, or somebody else at prices of 100-1, because I don't see Taylor winning both. So I think there's an interesting duality going in those 2 markets.
Oh, that's a great point. That's a great point. Okay, let's get this last one in here. This team is 7-2 ATS versus first half spreads, but just 2-7 ATS against the second half spread. Is it A, Seattle, B, Miami, or C, Atlanta?
I'm going to go with Seattle. I think Seattle's built some leads and they've taken their foot off the accelerator like we saw last week against Arizona.
Very well done. Very well done. That was, they averaged 90, over 19 points in the first half, give up just 7.7. That's an average margin of victory of more than 11 points. They are a break-even team in the second half, so they do not cover those second half spreads. That was impressive. Good job, Todd.
Hey, every now and again, I get a blind squirrel finds a nut, and this is where I'd pull my Costanza. I'm just going to walk off set. You can finish the rest of the show entirely on your own.
All right, Thursday night football bets. Odds provided by Bet365. Todd, why don't you have the honor to start us off here.
Look, Jalen, a couple weeks ago, I said riding RB1s under their rushing total against this Patriots defense was extremely fruitful. It comes with a caveat. Last week, Rashad White didn't get to his total because Sean Tucker did the damage. The Patriots have one player to contend with. You know where I'm going. It's Breece Hall under 59.5. Play 11 guys in the box. Let Justin Fields operate against air. Not sure he can complete passes. Breece Hall struggles on Thursday Night Football.
Well, I hope he can complete at least 3 passes to Breece Hall, which dovetails right into yours. I'm taking his over 2.5 receptions, plus 120. People are asking, the Jets, why isn't he involved in the passing game a lot more? And Aaron Glenn actually came out this week and said, yeah, that we need to do a better job of that. We have to find ways of getting the ball in his hand. Last week, he had one target. He caught one ball. He ran it 42 yards for a touchdown. And while you said New England can slam the door on running backs on the ground, they have allowed the most completions, most targets and most receptions by running backs so far this season. So projections all leaning towards 3 catches. Looks like game plan might lean towards 3 catches. I like his over 2.5 receptions, plus 120. All right, time for some anytime touchdown bets. Odds, of course, provided by Bet365. I'll go first. I'm going to go with Aaron Jones, running back for the Vikings. Jones is a threat to run it in. He's a threat to catch one and score a touchdown pass, which he did against Chicago in week 1. In fact, he loves playing against the Bears. He scored a TD in both meetings with them last year in his first year for Minnesota. And if we go back to his time with Green Bay, he has scored 14 career touchdowns in 16 matchups with Chicago. He scored his 2nd touchdown of the season last week against Baltimore, starting to get the lion's share of the carries as he gets healthy, including a 4-yard goal line TD. I like him plus 115 anytime touchdown for Aaron Jones.
Well, look, J-Lo, you inspired me with your pick of Juwan Johnson last week at a price tag north of 4-1 for an anytime touchdown. So I'm going to see that at the tight end position and raise you Colby Parkinson at around 9-1. This is a Rams offense that's really leaning into heavy personnel. We saw their usage rate through the roof of 3 tight ends on the field. And there's a non-zero chance that even if Devontae Adams starts the game healthy, relatively speaking, that he doesn't finish. So it's picking your poison. Will it be Parkinson, a former Seahawk? Will it be Davis Allen, or will it be Tyler Higbee? I figured I would take a flyer with this long shot price tag, knowing that the Rams are going to look to try and keep an extra tight end, do everything they can to protect Matthew Stafford against this tenacious pass rush. And look, what fun is it going to the window at plus 160, plus 170? I'll take a long shot at 9-1, but if you're looking for chalk, I like a Viking as well. It would be Jordan Addison.
All right, it is time to run the 2 minute drill odds provided by Bet365. I'll go first. Minnesota, -3. I bet this at -2.5 earlier in the week. I still like it at a field goal, but this Bears team has built its success on the backs of some horrible defenses. Go look at them. Terrible, terrible defenses. Minnesota is a step up here. I think the Vikes D actually did a pretty good job against Lamar and Co. last weekend, but it was a slew of penalties and three turnovers that really cost Minnesota the game. They take on Caleb Williams, facing the blitz-happy Minnesota defense. This is a guy that runs around like his ass is on fire every time he feels pressure, and he sucks against zone coverage, and that's exactly what the Vikes are going to throw at him here. I like Minnesota, -3 at home.
And look, very similar mindset for me. I'm going to take the Vikings team total over 26.5. So same thought process. When you look at this Bears team, they fall into a metric for me that I call high event football. Top five in the league in terms of combining yards per play. They don't get stops on defense, but they do move the football on offense. I think the Vikings are going to see this as a breath of fresh air after back-to-back games against the Lions for J.J. McCarthy and his return to action and the Ravens. Look for the Vikings offense to flourish against the Bears north of 30 points from an offensive output standpoint.
We are very pro-purple this week. All right. Next up for me is under 2.5 field goals made, plus 150. It's for the Lions and the Eagles on Sunday Night Football. This is a game where field goals probably aren't going to get the job done. And you have two coaches that love to go for it on fourth down, even when it doesn't make sense, Nick Sirianni. But Dan Campbell, now he controls this playbook. He's a guy that loves to roll the dice on fourth down. We know Philly has the tush push. That's almost an automatic on fourth down. And the reason why they kick the fewest field goals in the league. Detroit only kicking 1.8 field goals as well. Weather with gusts up to 25 miles per hour for the link. That could play into this. Going under 2.5 field goals made, plus 150.
Ugly dog alert for me in Jacksonville. I'll take the home team +3. I think this Chargers defensive line could be without a key cog and Tyre Tart. Mm-hmm. It is a buy low spot for a game that was 1.5 on a look ahead number. The Chargers traveling across the country. Talked about how emotional it was beating the Steelers for the football diehards there. Jacksonville, desperation +3. But man, is it scary backing Trevor Lawrence against the Jesse Minter defense. Numbers be damned, I'm on the Jags, plus the points.
I took a good long look at the Jags this week for the underdogs column and just couldn't do it. You were braver than me, my friend. All right, that is it for another 600 seconds. A big thanks to Mick for holding it down for another week. Chris, get well soon, buddy. We miss you. Big thank you to Todd. Thank you to Bet365. And, of course, a big thank you to you for joining us for another week. A reminder, rate, review the podcast. And if you watch us on YouTube, please comment, like, and subscribe. Todd, any words of wisdom? It's week 11, like you said. This is kind of that in-between period. Sometimes we hit a wall. Any words of wisdom before we depart?
I kind of alluded to it at the top, but if you're doing this the right way, even as a recreational bettor of sorts, it's weather, weather, weather this time of year. Not just for your bets, side and totals and player props, but also since I know a lot of our viewers are involved in daily fantasy, season-long stuff, make sure that you're monitoring those forecasts, because what we have in the cards this weekend, potential inclement stuff taking place in Orchard Park between the Bills and Bucks. We talked about that total coming down. We may see it between Baltimore and Cleveland. We know Cleveland is always notorious this time of year for some ugly football games, and may see it in Pittsburgh as well. So be sure when you're betting any of those things, sides, totals, player props, anything, that you are checking the forecast, because we know Mother Nature loves to have her say as we start to get deeper into the season, and you can oftentimes find a little bit of an edge in some of those markets where odds makers haven't properly accounted for it. Mm-hmm. Even if it's not in the top line markets, in some of those player props, most notably longest completion per chance, if we're talking about gale force winds of 25 mile an hour or greater.
I went under longest field goal last week for Chicago and New York.
And that smart was, thinking, that's when, the way to do began, it.
It was 51 yards. I was like, there's no way. They're not even on a good day. I'm probably not kicking a 51-yarder.
Not with Cairo Santos.
But eyes on the skies for sure in the second half of the season. And keep an eye out for next Wednesday. That's when we'll have the next Sharp 600 podcast. Until then, best of luck with your bets.